This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Covering all kinds of things around the Umpqua Valley, and we've caught up with State Senator David Brock Smith, who's over on the South Coast after spending several days in Alberta, Canada. David, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle. Good to be here.
So,
good to be home for the first time since just after the 4th of July.
Yeah, that's crazy. Talk about your time this week at the Pacific Northwest Economic Region Annual Summit in Alberta, Canada.
Thank you. Yeah, we were in Edmonton for the annual summit this year. My good friend who I've known, who's an MLA, which is, you know, their provincial leadership. Travis Kiesig is the president of PNWR this year. And we had it in Edmonton. And the Pacific Northwest Economic Region is a fantastic organization that encompasses Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, as well as the Western Canadian provinces. And we deal with regional issues of in the Pacific Northwest and Western provinces of Canada. As you know, Alberta is more of a conservative province, and they have a lot of oil and gas. And we in the United States have our own oil and gas, but we have great partnerships with oil and gas. You may remember the Pembina liquid natural gas project that we were trying to move forward at the Port of Coose Bay for a number of years until former Governor Brown killed the project. But I have had the privilege to work with my legislative colleagues that are delegates to PNWR from the four Northwest states, as well as those Western Canadian legislators within those provinces on these issues. And you may remember former Senator Roblin, of course, that represented portions of Douglas County. He was the previous president of PNWR doing good work there as well.
So what were some of the big takeaways from your time there?
So we focused on, as you know, of course, wildfire is a huge issue in management. And so natural resource and forest management strategies, as well as transportation corridors. Rail is a big conversation with regards to PNWR, and we're working on the Pacific Coast Intermodal Port Project. I think you know that there's the public-private partnership and now over nearly $200 million in helping assist that project move forward. And then the other is those natural gas and oil resources and the opportunity to tour their oil sands. I did not, unfortunately, have an opportunity to take that tour. And how impactful they are as far as being able to extract and how essentially clean it is, really. I know this might get some of the environmentalists up in arms, but really the reclamation that is occurring in those projects is great. And so the opportunity to have really energy security in the Pacific Northwest and the ability to kind of shift the paradigm of the left's push to take away natural gas. You may have read how the city of Bend actually drafted an ordinance for their city to actually charge a climate fee if somebody's going to build and install new natural gas appliances, and the opportunity to do so, which is absolutely ridiculous. I had a bill in the legislature to preempt local communities from being able to do that. Unfortunately, Democrats didn't allow it to move. But regardless, we need more energy in the Pacific Northwest to grow our economies with housing and so forth, and that is generation, and that generation isn't going to come from unicorns and pixie dust. It's going to come from generation from natural gas and others, because wind and solar, which is the unicorn of the left, is not going to be able to supply all of that energy that we need, and we're going to need the partnerships in the Pacific Northwest, especially in Alberta and Saskatchewan, to assist us in getting those that energy to be able to burn that natural gas, to be able to generate the electrons to grow our communities.
You know, I think a number of people listening might be surprised, especially given all the national commentary sometimes regarding Canada, that this type of organization has got the some of the Northwest states and some of the areas of Canada working together in this way.
Well, agreed. You know, the organization's been around for over two decades and has been through a number of administrations. It's one of the solidifying issues that we can have. We did pass a resolution, as I'm part of the executive team there, in support of the collaborative efforts that we have within the Penware region. It was... We had some pretty interesting conversations, because as I was there, President Trump leveled the 50% tariffs on some Canadian goods if Prime Minister Carney didn't come to the table soon. So I, of course, encouraged my Canadian counterparts to encourage the Prime Minister to come to the table with the President so that they can start and negotiate the trade practices that are that will be fair for both the United States and our Canadian brothers and sisters to the north.
How many people do you think attended this event, and how wide were the area were they from?
Well, excuse me, we know that there was well over 600 that were there. And again, they, I mean, the, what was it, Tuesday morning, we had the American Prime Minister to Canada speak to us in our opening session. We had, again, legislators, industry, business leaders from the four western, northwest states and the western provinces there. And, of course, breakout sessions, again, when it comes to transportation, when it comes to forestry, when it comes to hydrogen, when it comes to transmission and how we can collaborate on cutting through the bureaucratic blue tape that keeps us from building transmission and getting it laid out on the ground.
Were there other folks or other organizations from Southwest Oregon represented at this?
No. We have four delegates from each state. So Senator Lou Frederick from Portland is the Democrat delegate to Penware, and Representative Emerson Levy is the Democrat House member from delegate to Penware. There is not a Republican House member delegate to Penware. We did have, you know, Business Oregon staff was there. ODFMW staff was there, as well as equal members from other western states, and then of course the western Canadian provinces.
Interesting. Well, let's switch gears a bit. You've got that going on, but you're also kind of in a dual role as a state senator from Oregon, but also the Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate race, taking on Senator Merkley, who we talked to yesterday. Taking him on this fall, how do you feel like it's going, and how involved are you in that area this summer?
Well, it's going great, and I'm very involved. My of course, campaign team's like, David, okay, this is the last conference of the year, and I said yes, because I would have been going from this conference to the national National Conference of State Legislators in Chicago. I'm not going to be attending this year, and I haven't spoken to you since I was in Salt Lake City for the Council of State Governments West conference, annual conference, where I'm the co-chair of the Wildfire and Disaster Preparedness Committee. I'm glad to see. I haven't read the whole press release that Senator Merkley is moving forward on meaningful wildfire management that I've been pushing on for a long time. So I would like to think that having a competitive race is moving him away from his environmental for-profit, nonprofit handlers and pushing him into more common sense, sensible forest practices within the federal forest, as we've talked about many, many times on this, on your show, Kyle, about how, you know, 82% of the acres burned on the, in Oregon on the 10-year average on federal lands, and of the 18% that burn on private lands, 15% of those acres burned are because of fires that come off of federal land to private land. And of the 3% of fires that start on private land and burn on private land, 98% of those acres are kept to less than 100 because they're a managed resource. And so all the efforts that we're doing with CSG West is to push the federal government to front load those needed dollars. You know, we're trying to get the Rogue River Siskiyou Regional Wildfire Training Center off the ground, North of Gold Beach, where we'd be able to graduate 1,200 wildland firefighters a year. But then to have the opportunity to move them into full year employment within the federal forest to do the thinning projects, the prescribed burning project, the lateral fuel reduction projects that are critically important to protect our rural communities while creating these long time year round jobs, while bringing local logs to local mills to keep them going. I mean, it's Nordic Veneers closure is another huge blow to Douglas County and Roseburg in particular. There's this holistic issue, as you know, Kyle, and so do those listeners, that, you know, Oregon is the 47th in business friendliness in the state. We're one of the highest tax states in the country. I mean, Portland is the highest tax city behind New York City in the country. And the bureaucratic red tape and that keeps on layering when it comes to DEQ and other agencies is just strangling our business community that we can no longer handle. And then the lack of opportunity to get steady logs to our industries that need them is causing them to continue to close. And so by opening up our federal forests for proactive management, sustainable management is a great thing. And I'm glad that the senator is, again, pushing back against his environmental for-profit, nonprofit handlers and moving forward common sense legislation.
What's your approach going to be on the campaign this fall as you take him on and things really ramp up after Labor Day?
Well, the approach is fairly simple. I mean, you have situations in Oregon where we have opportunities to turn the state around. And those opportunities are led by our two U.S. senators, where we can not only, we just talked about federal forest management policies, but we have a huge addictions crisis in this state, which drives the homeless crisis as well as mental health crisis. And the state can't handle these issues alone. And so we must have comprehensive reforms on the national level to assist with not only funding, of course, but also policies that get people off the streets and into housing. And we can partner with the states and our state leadership in doing so. But there has to be accountability. We need to address the issues within on the West Coast and in our counties in regards to the illegal cartels that are not only human trafficking, but they're trafficking also fentanyl, which is just a deadly drug that kills so many. We need to be able to crack down on that, and we can't do that alone. And we have to partner with our federal and state and local law enforcement to do it. We have to deal with, you know, cutting through the bureaucratic blue tape that is Oregon when it comes to being able to have and build affordable housing. And I know that the Senate the legislature passed a good first step in doing so recently, but we have greater opportunities for the ability to move those type of things forward. And so really, when it comes to my campaign, as you know, Kyle, I've been very successful in the Oregon legislature and being able to get things done, proactive things for Oregonians from across the state, but also be able to work across the aisle for common sense solutions. And that's how I plan on running my campaign, showing how we need the federal government to step up and come in with the other 65% that's necessary to build the third veterans home in Oregon in Roseburg, as we've set aside the $35 million to get it done. Those jobs alone, along with the opportunities that it is going to give the men and women that fought for our freedoms in Roseburg, is going to be fantastic. And so as we continue to talk about how we're going to move things forward for Oregon and put Oregon first, it's not going to be fighting with the president. It's going to be coming together for solutions for Oregonians and Americans.
Let's talk about your current role in the Oregon State Legislature with your position in leadership. What does that have you doing, especially in terms of legislative races around the state this fall?
Well, I, of course, am assisting with a number of legislative races down in Medford is a key race for us, with Brad Hicks running in that open seat, vacated by Senator Golden. Tracy Kramer is a fantastic candidate, former House representative, that is running to replace Kim Thatcher in North Salem and Kaiser. And we have Courtney Bangs, who's a Clatsop County Commissioner, running to replace Suzanne Weber in the North Coast. I was with Senator Drazen, of course, our gubernatorial candidate, and Representative Shelley Bosshart Davis two Fridays ago. It was last Friday at the Linn County Fair. And I will continue as I campaign around the state, of course, join them in those conversations in their districts and communities, and support them in their efforts as they supported mine.
Speaking of the governor's race, you mentioned Christine Drazen, apparently now a Green Party candidate in the race, and some speculation earlier in the week that he may pull some votes from the current governor. Do you see that increasing the chance for a Republican victory?
Oh, most definitely. A Green Party candidate will pull disenfranchised Democrat votes away from Governor Kotek. It's a fantastic opportunity. I think you've seen the polling that came out a few weeks ago in the governor's race. I had the opportunity to go over that polling with Senator Drazen, and it's spot on. She is 4 points ahead of Governor Kotek. More importantly, you may remember the Oregonian did polling in May before the primary election in the downtown, in Portland, the bastion of Oregon liberalism. And Tina Kotek's numbers were 59% disapproval. National poll came out just earlier this week that has Tina Kotek as the 47th least popular governor in the country. And if you think about it, I mean, she has been in office for nearly 20 years. The last, of course, 3.5 being governor, prior to that, 10 years being the Speaker of the House. She has driven the unaffordable crisis in this state with her policies and iron fist. She has driven the homelessness and essentially drug and mental crisis that we have within the homelessness community with her policies over the last decade. And people are done. They're tired of it. They're tired of the unaffordability. They're tired of the housing crisis that we have because, I mean, you remember, Kyle, we had Representative Osborne and I had to pass legislation to open up opportunities for new housing development for Roseburg because DLCD couldn't get off their rears to get it done. And so when you look at the opportunities for change in Oregon and having me take the United States Senate seat, and having a finally having a Republican U.S. senator back in office, and then having Christine on board with as the governor, not to driving policies, it's a fantastic opportunity. And so I look forward to everybody joining me, and go to David Brock Smith for Oregon and check out the website and. We'll see you on the campaign trail.
All right, out of time for now. We'll talk again soon. State Senator David Brock Smith, 1256 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. It's presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.